Thanks again for joining us for this Issues and Candidate Forum for the 2019 election, sponsored by the Young Professionals Advisory Council and Forward Montana here on KGVM Bozeman. We are the audio mirror of the Gallatin Valley. You can find us on the radio dial at 95.9 FM, and you can find us on the internet at kgvm.org. We'd like to thank our underwriter for this programming, Amy's Massage. Amy specializes in myofascial release, therapeutic deep tissue, aromatherapy, and cupping therapy. You can contact her at 406-539-4691 or on schedulicity.com. We'll get back to some more questions of the candidates for the Bozeman City Commission and Bozeman Mayor races here on KGVM.
All right, one more long format question, and then we're going to get into the questions from the audience. So one more here, and then your questions are coming. The last question, and we'll start here with you again, Brian, is about diversity, equity, inclusion, and justice. The question: young people, especially those who are low income, belong to the LGBTQ community or a historically disenfranchised and marginalized identity group, including our Indigenous communities, often struggle to see a sustainable economic future for themselves here in Bozeman. With the cost of living increasing and a minimum wage still at $8.30 an hour, what actions will you take to ensure sustainable and just economic futures for the young people in Bozeman? Brian.
Okay, thank you. Well, roughly 2.5 years ago, then Mayor Carson Taylor proclaimed Bozeman to be a safe, welcoming, and inclusive community, basically meaning everybody is welcome regardless of income, sexual identity, race, religion, or anything else, basically, and I will continue to strongly support that proclamation. I would also like Bozeman to be known as a hard-working community, because in a lot of cases, that's what it's going to take to be able to live here. And like somebody told me out on the campaign trail, hard work can solve a lot of problems. So a good work ethic is going to be required to address this problem, but the role that government can play is to provide you the opportunity to make your life better. For example, to help you learn and develop a skill that'll help you earn more than a minimum wage in the job market. And to that end, I would continue to support Gallatin College. I think that's a great program. I'd be in favor of financial support for their operations in addition to helping them find a permanent building. Maybe they could use the old vacated Law and Justice Center. And then also the streamlined bus system. Obviously, that contributes to the overall cost of living. And then, of course, HRDC. I'd be in strongly favor financial support, continued financial support of our partners at HRDC. They're experts in this area. They'd also be able to advise us as we reach 50,000 in population. We're going to become what they call an entitlement community and be eligible then for a lot of federal funding that could maybe be directed to help the lower end of the spectrum here. And then maybe we redefine as a city our housing program to be workforce housing, and then that lower end affordable housing could be covered by the feds. And then you might get yourself a job at the city, because the city's paying $14 an hour minimum to start. And actually, it's a great place to work. And if you're a hard worker, you could really have a long, rewarding career there. I would be in favor of discussing the living wage. I think that we all have a lot to learn about that. And finally, like I said, don't be afraid to live in a trailer and work a couple jobs. When I first started working at the city, I had to also work at Lucky Lil's casino. And so don't ever rule out working two jobs and living in a trailer, especially when you're starting out.
All right, the music's playing. Brian, thank you. All right. Cindy,
thank you.
Same question, please.
I guess the focus of this question is, what can I do to ensure a sustainable and just economic future for the young people in Bozeman? And again, I would just say that the ability for me to do some of that is not within my power, but what is within my power is to create an environment within this organization that pays well and that sets an example for the rest of the community, so that they can use the city as an example and be able to pay their employees and employers more. I do know that we are working to make sure that we pay market rate for the jobs in the city, and that we are also looking at gender pay equity for our vendors and suppliers. And I think that this is a really important decision. I think for me, equal pay for equal work is something that is on my platform, and there are rules in the state government as well as the federal government that make sure those things are attainable, and I think that's something really attainable in the city and that we should continue to work for that. Thank you.
Cindy, thank you. Michael?
So it's shocking to me. Research has found that in the state of Montana, women rank 46 out of 50th of all states for equal pay and gender equity pay. That needs to change, and that also never should have been an issue. At this rate, Montana women won't see essentially equal pay until 2084. The same issue also applies to minorities, as discussed during the question. I think there's several things that we can do for our young citizens here in Bozeman to help increase wages. One, I think Britt Fontenot, the Director of Economic Development for the City of Bozeman, is already doing it. He's focusing on sector development. He's looking at economic profiles of people that live here and companies that he needs to bring to town from a local government perspective in order to increase wages. He's focusing on photonics and high tech. So as a local government, we're certainly making a difference there too. I agree with Mayor Andrews. The City of Bozeman has to be a leader when it comes to affordable living and affordable wages here in the community. And three, I think we need a study on gender and equity pay here in the City of Bozeman. I don't care if you're a minority. I don't care if you've lived here for 20 years. You need to be treated and paid the exact same as everybody else. We have a non-discrimination ordinance that we passed a couple years ago. That's incredibly important. I think many people in this room would agree that we need to do a better job implementing our non-discrimination ordinance. And on a personal note, my partner Erica Schnee is going to be principal of the new Bozeman High School. Can you imagine paying her less than her male counterpart at the old high school? Because I can't. So we need to do everything we can to ensure that there's great jobs here in Bozeman, and there's an economic future for our young people in the City of Bozeman. Thank you very much.
Michael, thank you. Zach.
Thanks. I want to focus on the equity inclusion part. I'm certain that we'll get to cover lots of the economic side of this, and it's near and dear to me. But I think we're missing part of that conversation here. And so it's important to note that if we say we value multiculturalism, we don't get that unless we have a culture that doesn't require people to conform to existing norms in order to fit in, because then that wipes out their culture. And I'm worried that that maybe happens a little bit in Bozeman. And part of the challenge here is that we actually need to name our values and say what's important and what people deserve. So one thing that I would have us do is actually create a top-level office at the city that tracks and measures quality of life measures for both the living people in our environment and our complete ecosystem, so that we can see how our policy is doing consistently and see where we need to make changes. And I actually want that department to be led by Native people, because to be honest, they've done a lot better job at maintaining this land than we have in the, as white Europeans pretty much destroying it in the last 100 years, and we were building on stolen land, right? So I think we need to at minimum honor them and bring that learning and understanding into our government. And also, speaking of representation, we also need to design our advisory boards and our city structure to encourage greater representation as well. I don't believe that we track demographics well enough at the city in terms of public comment, in terms of who goes to advisory meetings, who goes to public workshops, and I'm not convinced that we're representing our city well, and we need to be doing a better job of that. And lastly, I want to see us diversify our economy, and not just tech startups, but into local food that I mentioned that has a really great growth and a great history in Montana, and into sustainable manufacturing, because we're going to need to be producing many of our things locally. And these are great jobs for folks. And so all those things can help create a future for young people, regardless of their situation. So thanks.
Zach, thank you. And thank you also for touching on the Indigenous people piece of the question. Mark.
Let's talk about wages and then diversity. So wages, the state of Montana doesn't allow Bozeman to establish a local minimum wage, but we can, as a city, commit ourselves to paying our own staff a living wage. We can require the same of our contractors, that they pay their staffs a living wage, and we can show leadership as a city to recognize and encourage other large employers in town to do the same, and I believe that we should do that. On the diversity side, as a transportation planner, I think about equity quite often. It's something that I help states incorporate into the way that they make decisions about how they prioritize investments to ensure that the transportation systems they're investing in serve all populations equally. Our city's rules have hidden and subtle equity implications. I think that parking minimums are a good example of this, to the extent that lower income houses tend to have fewer cars, but our city's rules require the same one parking space per bedroom in a luxury apartment as an affordable apartment, increasing the housing costs and burdens on lower income residents and forcing lower income families to squeeze into fewer bedrooms because they can't afford to pay for the empty parking spaces outside so that their middle-aged children inside can have separate bedrooms. Finally, I think that the city of Bozeman should be intentional in the way that it markets itself and presents itself to demonstrate the diversity that we aspire to on our website, on the covers of our plans. I was looking at the draft, and how we market ourselves. The Bozeman Ice Fest does a really nice job of that. If you look at their marketing material, you see lots of women and women of color that are climbing, which is great for a festival that's trying to bring more people into a traditionally white male-dominated sport. So as a city, I think that we can push for a minimum wage, we can regulate Bozeman in a way that all can thrive, and we can market ourselves as a place where all are welcome.
Candidates, thank you. Now for the fun part, hopefully, your questions. All right. Candidates, just try to be cognizant that there are other perspectives and folks who might like to chime in, but I will let you popcorn around as far as who answers these questions. All right, our first question. How do you plan to support our nonprofit sector in Gallatin County?
When I think of nonprofit, the first organization... Oh, sorry, Mark. Good job.
Mark, you're up next.
One of the most important organizations, at least in my mind, is the HRDC because of the direct impact they've had on the affordable housing problem, and as well as the entire continuum of housing, all the way from the very poor to the more the group that the city serves to provide help to in the median AMI range. So I would continue to, right now we're levying the five property tax mills, which is roughly $600,000. I would definitely be in favor of continuing that support. They provide down payment assistance and home buyer, first time home buyer education and all sorts of just invaluable benefits to the community in my mind.
Brian, thank you. Mark, did you have something?
So many of the great things that we enjoy as a community are provided by nonprofits. For example, much of our trail system in Pete's Hill as it currently exists have been developed by GDLT, and the city in many cases has then taken up stewardship of that. So there is a very important role for the city to play in supporting the nonprofits that in turn support the city. A small example of this is, so HRDC is far and away the most important player in town when it comes to providing affordable housing, and they do that with a lot through a program called the Low Income Housing Tax Credit Program. And there's certain places where that is applicable on our map in terms of our city, the economics and demographics. And one thing that the city can do as we're designating our future land uses and zoning, we can zone in such a way that ensures that the areas that would be LIHTC eligible are zoned in such a way that we'd be able to build housing there in the future. I also believe that there's a role for the city to play in terms of providing funding. One example of that is that the city currently provides funding for Haven to make up for some of the shortfall after state budgets were cut. I also think that there's a role for the city to play in terms of perhaps providing funding to HRDC as the agency that is actively providing affordable housing in this town to ensure that we maintain our existing stock of affordable rentals that HRDC maintains.
Mark, thank you. Other thoughts on this question before we move on?
I would say something just to add as well. There are so many nonprofits here and so many who do wonderful work. My wife works for United Way and works with early childhood, child care and early childhood development. And she says to me almost every day when she comes home from work that I wish I didn't have to do my job. I wish it wasn't needed. I wish that 7 in 10 families could get child care because they can't in Bozeman. And it costs more than tuition at MSU to pay for it. I know, because we pay for it every month. So I just want us to know together that oftentimes the need for so much nonprofit support is a failure of government. And it's a failure of leadership for us to make sure that our citizens are taken care of and that they all have the basic material needs that they need to live and work and thrive here. And I would love to see a nonprofit sector that can thrive and grow beyond having to meet basic needs and moving into a place where we can do so much more.
Zach, thank you.
I would just add that Whether it's a nonprofit sector or a profit sector, I think the role of the government is to provide an environment where they can thrive. And I think that goes from everything from making sure we have streets that don't have potholes and sidewalks that are accessible and that we have a community that people want to live in. Thanks, Cindy.
I would like to add that I think we need to rethink how we're working with nonprofits in the Gallatin Valley. I'm advocating for something called a collaborative governance structure or a city club. So Missoula, Seattle, Boise, they've all been incredibly successful at this. Basically what happens is these local municipalities work with all of these stakeholders and nonprofits in every single community to have one or two conversations every month for a couple hours where people can come together and talk about the hard issues. These are great public policy debates for not only citizens, stakeholders, nonprofits, and local governments, but it really helps improve communication at the local level. And that is something that we need to improve as a valley, especially with, for instance, the county. I would continue, obviously, to try and support HRDC, organizations like Gallatin Valley Land Trust. They've done great things for our community. HRDC is doing a wonderful job with affordable housing here in Bozeman. And I would really just emphasize the importance of relationships and citizens being involved. Many of the nonprofits in this community are funded by people sitting right here in this room tonight. And I'm incredibly grateful for that because it makes a community that is civically engaged and cares very much about our future. Thank you very much.
Michael, thank you. All right, our next question is an important one here. What can the city of Bozeman do to strengthen relationships with the agricultural community and specifically to support our local sustainable food sector? The network of farmers and entrepreneurs that work in the sector is growing and integral to our community.
I'll start. I'll take that one first. I do think that our philosophy about infill and density goes right to this question with regard to how we build our city. It certainly comes with challenges as well, but I think that looking at building up the core and appreciating the agricultural land around us is one step in the right direction. I also believe that we should be looking as a city organization in using materials that we can recycle when we, you know, plates and spoons and all those kinds of things, as well as looking at how we use more local food when we have events at City Hall. So again, just trying to set an example for the community in places that we can do something like that.
Thank you, Cindy. Anyone else? Button.
The most important thing that we can do as a community is not pave over our agricultural fields and turn them into condos. I like to talk about Pamplona, Spain, which is a place that I've never been, but I look at on Google Earth all the time because Pamplona is a place where the rent is half as much as Bozeman costs, where there's four times as many people in Pamplona as we have here in Bozeman, and yet they're half our size. They have crisp edges. They're in an agricultural valley that's surrounded by mountains. They don't have any high rises, and they've committed themselves to building a dense, livable city so that they can live next to farmland. And we have that choice as a city as well. If we choose, we can focus our growth inward. We can choose to work with our partners in the county, who it turns out they don't want to see sprawl happen either because they see their constituents as being the farmers and ranchers who are working those working lands. And if we have the political will to do it, I believe that we can grow into a dense urban environment that respects and allows for the presence of farmland immediately adjacent to our city. And I'd like to see us commit ourselves to that.
Thanks, Mark.
So my uncle was actually one of the first organic lentil farming businesses, helped start that back in the 80s in Montana. So this is very near and dear to me, and I have heard endless lectures about this. If we don't eat, we don't have anything, right? If we don't have food, we're nowhere. And I think it's easy to forget how dependent we are on our food system when you can just go to the grocery store anytime and get whatever you want because it's stored and shipped. And so food distribution costs are actually 80% of the price of food. So there's a huge economic and security future if we can reduce those costs and create local food systems that actually function. And I'll do whatever it takes to try to make that happen. And if that's me driving all over the state to try to convince people to do it and to do their part to make that happen, I'll be there to do it. I agree with largely what's been said. Keeping the city small is crucially important. Another thing that we can do is reducing, of course, the more that we reduce water here, the more the watershed becomes available for farmers and ranchers who are already so reliant on that and who also have to make cuts inevitably as irrigation becomes more scarce as well. So these are huge, huge issues. But basically, our livelihood is directly tied to theirs. And so if we don't see that, we're nowhere. And we have to start thinking of ourselves as interdependent that way for a whole ecosystem because we're going to need it in order to survive.
Other thoughts before we move on?
Yes, I think local agriculture provides a direct connection between Bozeman and agricultural land. It's incredibly important that we recognize we need more local and sustainable food. This obviously enhances our sustainability here in the Valley. It decreases our impact on climate change. But a couple of very specific policy proposals I believe we need to do to make a difference here is work with local growers to help with advertising campaigns. Bozeman is special. People love locally grown and organic food, especially from farmers and ranchers right here in the Valley. Two, we need to develop city partnerships. So I talked about a city club a few minutes ago. I think we should dedicate one of those sessions talking about local agricultural and local food sales. Three, I think we need to waive fees for vendors at local farmers markets. It's incredibly expensive for them to show up and sell their produce. There's not a lot of markup for these farmers in the Valley. And so we need to do whatever we can to support them from an economic development and a financial perspective. And on a personal note, Jeannie and Todd Wilkinson, their son Carter, he works on my campaign. He tried to make a living in the local sustainable food market, and he couldn't do it. And he's incredibly passionate about it. If he can't do it, I'm sure there's several other people in the community that are also struggling. Thank you.
Thank you, Michael. All right.
Just real quick, for me, this underscores the need for us to do a better job of, in our relationships with other government entities. When you think about the agricultural land around here, a lot of it's not even in the city of Bozeman. So as our population gets to be around 50,000 or more, we're going to be required to form what they call a metropolitan planning organization, and that's going to require us to work with Belgrade and Four Corners and Gallatin County as far as what we're going to do with the land between here and, say, Jackrabbit. And then also, just sort of as an FYI, the city is in the process of fine-tuning its annexation policy, so if you have some strong feelings on this matter, you might want to be involved in that process from the get-go.
Brent, thank you. Our next question is a public transit infrastructure question. The question is, a bus service and bike-friendly transportation is a necessary and critical component of growing community that values sustainability, protection of our environment, and managing the impact on our infrastructure. As a commissioner, what steps would you take to support increasing access to sustainable and efficient public transportation? Mark, please start.
Thank you for whoever submitted the question. I couldn't agree more. Transit. A couple others up here suggested that maybe we should buy electric buses. Let me tell you, how to get 50 times more greenhouse gas benefit out of our transit system than converting to electric buses. You enable 50 times more people to get, or you enable 50 people to get on the bus by providing more frequent service and higher quality, more frequent service and more coverage. We can do that in Bozeman through concepts. One is bus rapid transit, the idea of dedicating right of way on key multimodal corridors so the bus doesn't get mired in the same traffic that cars do, which would give the bus a competitive advantage that would actually make it more convenient and faster than other forms of transportation. And then transit-oriented development, the idea that we would align increased levels of density with where we have these great multimodal corridors that provide connectivity. On the biking side, the city of Vancouver in the last 5 years has increased the share of people who are choosing to bike to work from 6% to 12%. Just by building safe places for bikes. Just by building a place where you could feel comfortable riding your bike to get to work. And we could learn from that, and we could do the same thing here in Bozeman. We could double our share from 5% to 10% of the share of people that are choosing to ride their bike to get to work. And if we actually, if we dramatically increased the funding for our transit system by matching our stated priorities with our funding priorities, we could make this a very well transit served community.
Thanks, Mark. Other thoughts?
I think mass transit is an affordable housing issue because it lowers your overall cost of living. And so I would be in favor of Right now, we're currently funding Streamline, the bus system, out of the general fund, and we're giving them a fair amount, but I heard on the campaign trail that there's a need for more available busing, more routes, more times that the bus runs. And so I think we could justify having this be a use of the affordable housing funds as well, increased funding for Streamline.
I'm basically with Mark on this one. Transit is huge. It's a huge benefit for accessibility. It's a huge benefit for affordability. We need to go away from the direction of needing more parking and more homes for cars and more cars, because that we can't have a future like that. The other huge opportunity that we have reaching the 50,000 threshold is potential availability of federal DOT grants, because a transit system like that say was a quarter mile from anywhere in town for a stop, which is the kind of thing that we need, could cost tens of millions of dollars to build out potentially, and it should be quality, but there are huge potential grants. So I would absolutely see the city being aggressive about trying to procure those kinds of grants for projects like that. This is a huge investment that would save families a lot of money in the long run, as cars become hopefully more obsolete.
I think what you're hearing, and I agree, all of us, that working to have a better transit system, have a multimodal transit system, is something that's been a goal of the city and something that we've continued to work on since I've been on this commission. One of my first votes was for complete streets. When we do become a metropolitan planning organization, we will be able to get a little more money from the state, which will go directly to transportation. And so this will give us an opportunity to make some of these changes. Just so you know, an electric bus costs about $750,000. So it's not cheap, but it's certainly, I think, something we should be considering. And I know there's some interest in some neighboring communities around Bozeman to look into how we might do some shared busing and transportation. So I agree with what my colleagues up here said.
Thank you, Cindy.
I think we need to find an effective way to tax outsiders while ensuring that we have a safe, reliable, and, of course, an efficient infrastructure and transportation process here in Bozeman. One, I think our downtown plan, as well as our long-term community plan, calls for enhancing biking and walking and livability. With this, I would advocate for more community nodes where people can get to these areas of higher density that are near their homes. They can walk, they can bike, they can take the bus. Two, I actually agree with my opponent here that I think we need to focus on receiving more federal funding after we reach the population threshold of 50,000 people. This will make us more eligible for federal funding for large-scale projects. Three, I think we really need to think long-term on this. I think it's a reality that people will be driving in from Belgrade and Four Corners in 20 years, and we need to change that so that maybe they're taking a tram in from Belgrade to Four Corners and into Bozeman. We need federal funding. It'll be cheaper if we can do it now, and we need to think big. Lastly here, you know, I talked to a gal the other day on the doors. Her name's Jennifer. She takes the Streamline bus system every single day from Livingston to work at Montana State University. It's a 45-minute to an hour round trip, and then at 4:30 to 5 o'clock, she gets back on it and does it again. I really appreciate the Streamline bus system and the city funding this out of our general fund, but I think that we need to look at additional areas where we can possibly fund the Streamline bus system. MSU students, many of you are probably here tonight. It actually comes out of your student fees. I don't know if you knew that or not, but that is incredibly important for funding the system, as many students throughout Bozeman use Streamline bus system. So thank you very much.
Thanks, Michael.
Thank you for joining us here at KGVM Bozeman as we provide you with some information for the upcoming 2019 Bozeman City election. A couple questions left for the candidates before they wrap up with their final summaries here in this Issues and Candidate Forum, sponsored by the Young Professionals Advisory Council and Forward Montana. We recorded this forum on October 16th, 2019, at the City Hall in Bozeman.
This next question is for our City Commission candidates, so for Michael, Zach, and Mark here. The question: the City Commission currently is composed of 5 homeowners. 2 of the candidates running are also homeowners. 60% of the Bozeman population are renters. Why is a homeowner the best person to represent my values as a renter?
Yeah, I mean, I guess I should take that bingo slot. I'm a renter. Anybody? Is that right there? I mean, to be fair, the best person is the best person for the job, regardless, right? But I think we are at a point where representation at some point does matter. That's why I'm here, because basically the decisions that the commission makes are going to more significantly impact me and my family related to housing, because it's so much of our budget compared to a lot of homeowners who are also struggling in many cases. But it's just a matter of degree. And so, like, when I helped craft, you know, suggested housing policy in my day job, for me, the priority was working from the bottom up. So we need to take care of people who are homeless first, all the way up to the top in terms of socioeconomic status. And I think it needs to apply there. So I just think it's time for some different voices on the commission and on city government and advisory boards, especially college students who are also many renters, because, you know, their voice needs to be heard in a very direct way, too.
Other thoughts?
Absolutely. So I think I'm the best person because we have knocked on the doors of over 20,000 people. Why? It's been to learn from the citizens, learn about their struggles, how we can possibly improve and make a difference in their life. A lot of these people have been renters. I've heard their stories. I am up late at night, not sleeping, thinking about how I can make a difference in their life, how I can make renting more affordable in Bozeman so that we can keep people here that are in our lower and middle classes, and they can make a difference in our community. They can have an amazingly high quality of life. And when you're knocking on doors and speaking with people one-on-one, it really has a profound impact on your future decisions if you're going to be a city commissioner. On a more personal note, my sister Cammie just moved here. She's a working professional, and she can't find an affordable place to live. This isn't, you know, new to me. This strikes very deep with me, as I just had a family member move here and she's not able to find affordable housing. So I think I very much understand this as a homeowner here in the Bozeman community. Thank you.
Michael, thank you. Mark, did you have anything to add?
Thank you. You know, this question is kind of funny. I've rented most of my life. I saw a future for myself in which I'd want to become more involved in city politics. And for me, buying a home in Bozeman was one of the steps, because I didn't think that would be taken seriously as a candidate if I wasn't a resident landholder. In fact, we have a couple citizen advisory boards in which there are positions that you are not eligible to serve in if you are not a freeholder, meaning you do not own land in the property or in the city. I think that our obsession with single family housing and individual home ownership runs contrary to our needs for affordable housing. The idea that everyone will own their own freestanding single family house is a nice idea, but I don't think it jives with the reality of us being a fast growing and expensive community. But unfortunately, as a result of this, and I think as a result of our rules, we're trending in the direction of actually building more expensive freestanding single family homes. From 2005 to 2010, it was about a third of what got built would be like missing middle houses. So duplexes, triplexes, row houses, things that would be maybe affordable or attainable as first-time homes. And in the last 5 years, it's been about 20%. So we're going the wrong direction. And I think that we need to maybe step up and confront this question of, like, is our future one in which we continue to put home ownership on a pedestal? And does that serve the needs of our community?
Mark, thank you. I think we only have time for one more question here, and I would add to that, if you could come up with one succinct and quick answer to this, that would be much appreciated before we have closing remarks. The question is, we are so, with a lot of O's, behind in terms of the climate crisis. How can Bozeman lead in addressing the crisis in addition to forming a climate committee?
I'll start. I will reiterate that we have a partnership that we have not had with Northwestern Energy. They have been, in some cases, holding up our progress, and I believe that this new partnership with them, with Missoula, with Helena, will really help us to move forward and meet some of the sustainable goals that we want to achieve as a community.
Great. Thank you, Cindy.
I think that as a local government, we need to be a leader on climate change. We need to really start with renewable energy on our government-owned buildings here in Bozeman, and hopefully the private sector will recognize our leadership, try and follow suit. We need to work with state-level officials in order to have new homes and subdivisions that are powered on clean and renewable energy. And third, as Mayor Andrews mentioned, we need a positive working relationship with Northwestern Energy in order to make all of this possible. Thank you very much.
Thanks, Michael.
to lead, we should, as a city, do what Missoula has done and adopt a goal of sourcing 100% clean renewable energy by 2035 by working in partnership with Northwestern Energy. And we need to decarbonize our transportation system.
Other thoughts?
I would agree with everything that's been said. What happens when you hit the light switch where that power comes from? That's Northwestern Energy. So that's a huge component, obviously. So continued efforts with them is going to matter a lot. But as far as what an individual can do now, it's with the transportation. So that's where I think we need to focus as a city is on that.
Yeah, I would add this has been touched on, and it's often sort of the rub, which is, again, bingo maybe. But, you know, our state legislature has really handcuffed what we can do in many ways and in many destructive ways. So this needs to be a huge part of a push by city leaders across the state. Because I think it's ultimately a nonpartisan issue. I think the folks on the right can like it because it's small government and, you know, having local government accountable to its people and being able to experiment with policy at the local level first is a really good thing. And often I think folks on the left can like it because these are the kinds of issues like climate change and diversity and equity inclusion that are social issues that often matter to those of us on the left. So I just think we need to make a huge conscious push rather than lobbying for a single issue, lobbying to get our powers back locally, because many of them were there to begin with 25 years ago, and they were taken for an ideological position that's ultimately hurting a lot of folks.
Thank you, Zach. All right, for those of you still in the audience, we have made it to closing remarks. If we could keep this to a minute or less, if you would sum up some of your points here. We'll start with Brian and go around the semicircle, please.
Okay, thank you. I'm not here because I want to be a politician, but because I think our city government can be better. That's really what I'm about, better government. And that, to me, that means doing a better job of listening to you, doing a better job of managing your tax money, doing a better job of getting along with the county and other agencies so that you don't have to pay twice for the same thing, and doing a better job of making sure that we listen to all of you and not just the property owners, like was almost the case with the Parks Maintenance District. And don't forget, I've got 23 and a half years of experience working for you and learning all the ins and outs of the bureaucracy, and I've got over 33 years experience of just simply living in Bozeman and all the issues, affordable housing, everything we talked about tonight. More responsible taxation, growth, sustainability, water conservation, gender pay, they're all very important to me, and I'll tackle them head on. But in doing that, I also promise to stand up for you on your behalf and to question the answers, to add efficiency, transparency, and common sense to the process. Make sure your voice is heard and make sure you are in the driver's seat as we move forward. And thank you. I promise I will listen to you, and don't forget to vote.
Brian, you could have a career as an auctioneer. Cindy.
Thank you. I don't speak as fast as Brian. I probably don't think as fast as Brian does either. But I want to continue doing this work. I've been doing it for 10 years at the end of December. I have a passion for it. I have a desire to continue to make this community a better place. There's a lot of great ideas that we heard tonight. But the thing that I would just ask you to think about is they're great ideas until they meet Chapter 7 of the Montana Code Annotated, which means that there's a lot of things that we can do and a whole lot of things that we can't do. And I'm going to continue to work hard on the things that I know we can do. I've spent years studying that code, years looking at our code. And so I think it's important you have somebody in this position who knows and who can make decisions about how we move forward and not waste time on things that we are not able to achieve. So I look forward to your support. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Cindy. Michael.
Thank you very much. I want to reiterate that my team and I have listened and learned from 20,000 citizens in Bozeman over the last couple of months. It's not about power. It's not about winning. It's about representing your views and learning what you want for our community. Furthermore, I've wanted to do this since I was a little kid. Don't ask me why. I have no idea. But at the same time, I do believe in public service. I've developed the volunteer work, the education, as well as the senior leadership experiences needed to be successful in this position, and I'm ready. I am ready to be your next Bozeman City Commissioner. And lastly, my wife and I care very much about involving young people in civic engagement. We've both been very involved in the community, and we will support that however possible here in the near future. Thank you very much for your time.
Michael, thank you. Zach?
Thanks. So I want to tell you about the kind of leader that I want to see here and the kind of leader that I'd hope to be. I think leadership should involve someone who's most impacted by the choices that are being made in the strongest way, who has the most to lose, the most skin in the game. I think it should be someone that people who are affected look up to and look to, and who they call when they have troubles in those areas. And I think it should be someone who's willing to sacrifice the most for their behalf. And finally, I think it's somebody who should be able to understand many, many sides of an issue. And on those areas, I'm actually really strong. When renters in this town have troubles or people want someone to fill them in or help understand housing policy, who are you going to call? Yep, that's me. When I am deeply and personally affected by those who, and have solidarity with those who are struggling most in this town, who deal with these kind of issues every day, because I see them, I hear their stories, and I live it all the time. And finally, I have a really unique skill, probably the only one above all else, which is that I can understand an issue from many different sides at a lot of depth and a lot of breadth very quickly. And I think that's crucial for the City Commission, and I'd like to bring that, and I would love your vote. Thank you.
Zach, thanks. Mark.
Thank you for being here and for your interest in Bozeman's future. We can be a place where the people who live here now can afford to stay and where the middle class can thrive. We can build a better transportation system that works for everyone, including the planet. We can preserve open space and reduce our greenhouse gas emissions. But these things are not going to happen unless young voters demand action and vote. In our town, with 25,000 residents under the age of 30, only 800 cast a ballot in the last municipal election. That's 3.2%. So here's my ask. I'm not going to ask you to vote for me, though that would be nice. I'm going to ask each of you to find five people under 35 who might not otherwise vote and explain to them the importance of city policymaking for the climate, for livability, for transportation, for affordability. Get them to vote and get them to ask five people to vote. The future of this town belongs to the young. It's time for you all to claim that and vote.
Candidates, thank you. And the real thanks is to all of you that have shown up here tonight, who have shown that you are civically engaged and that you care about this city. Please take this time, I know we didn't get to all of your questions, to talk to these candidates. They're obviously just human, so find some time after we conclude to pick their brain. If you have more questions, our friends at Forward Montana might have the answers. ForwardMontana.org, or ask anyone you see around with the Forward Montana sticker. Thank you again for coming. Have a great night, everyone.
Thanks for listening to this Issue and Candidate Forum here on KGVM. It was sponsored by the Young Professionals Advisory Council and Forward Montana, and it was recorded on October 16, 2019, in the City Commission Room at City Hall in Bozeman. We hope you found this informative and helpful as you decide how you're going to vote in the upcoming election. We hope you do vote in the upcoming election. We'd like to remind you, KGVM does not endorse a candidate or any particular viewpoint on a ballot issue or initiative. We are striving to provide you as much information as we can to help you in the decision-making process for voting. Thanks for tuning in, and stay tuned for more information about the upcoming 2019 election here on KGVM.